Good Sunday afternoon. Hidden Treasures Revealed is on the air for a special Sunday podcast. My name is Sean, and I'm here with my brother Edward, and he lives a little bit further away from our gathering, and Yah's given him an opportunity to be on the podcast with me today. I'm excited about it, and Edward has a really good topic that he brought, and me and Edward will be back with you in just a moment. Have you ever wondered, is there more to the Word of God than just words on the page? Join us for an in-depth journey into the truth of God by means of open Socratic conversation. In Proverbs chapter 2, the Word of God says, "If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Welcome to Hidden Treasures Revealed. Well, Edward, we're here in what I refer to as not necessarily daylight savings time, but daylight moving time, because we're just shifting daylight. You know, how does people get live? You know, I lose my hour of sleep and all that stuff. I just call it daylight shifting time as opposed to savings. But it's a beautiful sunny day. How are you doing this morning? We just got out of our church gathering.
I'm doing really good. Doing good. What I know is that while I was traveling down this morning, it was foggy. It was misty and it was raining, and I don't like driving in the rain or in dark area. But I asked Yah to help me make it through the weather, and for some reason, when I was just past Richmond, all of a sudden everything cleared up, and the light was bringing out. And then by the time I got to Charlottesville, it was bright and sunny. So every day is always a great day regarding the rain, because my wife's family would say negative things about the rain. It makes me depressing and so forth. And now I wanted to have the opportunity to bring out this topic about the saltiness. Before I go ahead and talk about it, I want to read the part of the scripture, and I'm going to stop there, and then we'll discuss about the saltiness.
And actually, Edward, I'll give you a moment and you can get the whatever you need there. I wanted to just bring out something to those that are listening that I don't know if anybody's noticed this, but on the podcast, it's really neat what Yah is doing, because for so many of the podcasts, it's been me and Phil. And Yah's giving the opportunity for different members of our church gathering to have opportunity to come on the podcast to discuss different topics, to give them opportunity to trust God and come up with things and really ask them what they want to be brought out. So this is just neat. Edward's been on, I think you've been on one time with me before, and we'll just look forward to whenever Yah wants you to come back again, and whomever is going to be on is great. But it's just, you'll hear different, you'll notice on normally we have it on Tuesday nights, that you'll have different people that'll be coming on with me. And it's just neat, because it just gives an opportunity to get different experiences, different topics. And it all comes back to Yah's truth anyway. And that's the focus. So yeah, I was just curious before you get into that, like explained, was this like a thought that came to mind? Did Yah say, "Hey, we want you to go in this direction"? How did this topic come about?
Okay. I was quick to bring out the topic on the humble and humility. But apparently, I learned to ask Yah to verify again. But soon enough, I decided to, I went and then said, okay, well, what do you want me to say on the podcast? And apparently, John had something that Yah, or mother, had wanted him to speak that had related with the humble and the humility. So I felt, that was the right call. Now, this is intended for me because Yahusha, Messiah, had said to me to go and talk about this, this, because prior, last week, before I go into this, I heard Yahusha Messiah come talk to me. And he said, "Come, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." To tell you the fact is, I heard it at least seven times. Three times on one day, three times on another day, and one time on the final day. And then it got me to click on to my mind to pay close attention. See, I still have a long way to go on paying close attention to what people are saying, because I tend to get, I'm more of what you sort of call like hyper. I want to get it out real quick, get it over. But I just have to kind of calm myself down. And Yahusha Messiah told me to go into the salt and the light. But we're going to stick with the salt for now. Now, in Matthew 5:13-16, if you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And I'm going to put another one from Mark, which is chapter 9:49-50. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. And I'm going to follow another scripture related with the salt. Yes. The salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. And then on Matthew 13:40-43, as the weeds are pulled up and burnt in the fire, so it will be at the end of the ages. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, like the Son in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let him hear. And I'll stop right here on the salt and the saltiness. But what was revealed to me is, when you first, you're being introduced to Yah, then introduced to the Son, because Yah will introduce to the Son. And after I am being introduced to the Spirit, but right now I'm on the stage of being in with Yahusha Messiah so that I can listen. And he was giving me a stern warning, letting me know that once you tasted the heavenly gift and turn away from it, then there will be no turning back. And I'll stop right there. If you got anything you want to share or something.
Interesting, the things that you don't know, because until I tell you this, you wouldn't know this. When you had sent this topic to me, I was curious because from what I remember with what you read, it said, Messiah said, if the salt would lose its saltiness. Now, I'm not saying that that's exactly, it's just what I'm remembering. Can you get the saltiness back? And I was curious. I thought, I use salt in cooking. You know, like salt, sodium chloride is what salt is. Not necessarily sodium, but like the what I'm thinking is like if we put it to table salt is like the chemical NaCl, like the sodium chloride is the actual salt. And I was curious and I thought, well, can salt lose its saltiness? And it wasn't saying, you know, Son of God, Messiah, you're wrong. Obviously, none of that. But I was just curious because I was like, can salt lose its saltiness? Meaning that, you know, how everything has those end dates on breads and perishable dates. And I thought salt probably has an expiration date for you to buy it from a company. But does salt actually, like if you were to leave salt sitting, let's say 10 years in your cabinet, would you actually be able to get salt out and taste it and it just not tastes like salt? Like that's what I was looking at. So think about what Messiah is doing here, that he's using a physical example, something that they would understand to teach them a spiritual lesson, because what he's doing, he's teaching spiritual things using salt. So he's saying, if salt loses its saltiness, meaning like, because I've seen you before, you'll put some table salt on your food. And what does salt do? Like if we were to put it to a physical, like if you put salt on your food, what is the purpose of the salt?
It has flavor. It tastes good.
Because are you really, when you're adding salt, are you adding it to taste salt? Or like you said, are you adding it to enhance, like to bring out the flavor?
Well, it's the flavor, yes.
Because are you thinking that the food doesn't taste particularly well? Like it's not, you need to season it.
Correct.
And you do a lot of cooking. Do you yes. A lot of cooking?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever had an opportunity where you put too little salt? And have you had an opportunity where you put too much salt? And what happened between those two?
Flavor would be much different.
I know for me, because I enjoy cooking, and I'll use soup as an example. You'll salt it, taste it. Oh, that's pretty good. Salt it a little bit more. It's just not right. Just a little bit. And you put a little bit more. Oh, no, it's too salty. Well, think about it. Takes more, once you oversalt, to get it back to an edible level. And it's just so interesting that it's just such a fine line that's why, like what I do is if a recipe calls for, let's say, making bread, like a half a teaspoon of salt, I'll half that amount of salt because I know how salty it can get. And then I'll add salt to it because I don't know if you've done this. If you're making soup, like you've got to add more water to get it to drown out that saltiness, to absorb that so you can then eat it. And same thing with pepper. If you make a soup, if you put too much pepper, it can make it way too hot. And it's just that thin line. Do you remember the circumstance when you were over here where we ate the bread and I dipped it in grape juice and then dipped it in salt? Do you remember what happened?
It tasted really, you know, hard to describe. It was so strong.
Yeah, it's like if you took a piece of bread
and dipped it on into that salt. Wow, it was, oh.
But it's because the salt has, in its nature, it has like a flavor. Like it has, and from my understanding, salt is like a preserving agent as well. It's not just to season food. Like you could store like ham, you could put salt in it to keep it from spoiling. You can actually, I've seen people cook with salt where they'll actually take, I think it was, I can't remember what they were making, that they took and wrapped the meat in salt and cooked it. And then it made like a shell around it. Like what it did, it insulated the heat. And then they broke the salt shell off and you would eat, I think it was a chicken or a turkey. And it wasn't salty. Like what it did, it protected it held in the heat as it was cooking, like just away. Cause you would think like, why are you putting salt on this? But they would just, I mean, literally it looked like if you took snow and just were just gobbing like handfuls of salt, and it would make like a hard shell, and they would break the shell off and the salt would fall off. And then you'd have this nice cooked meal. And they said it didn't taste salty. Like it held in the flavor. So, and did you have anything that's just what came to mind so far?
Well, according to the saltiness and, what I got from that one is that when you're in faith, you know, continuing and walking and doing what, Yahushua Messiah has done by walking in him. And that I have to be aware that there is no turning back, because it tells me, because Yahushua Messiah is trying to let me know that we are trying to protect you so that you know what you're getting into. And when you fall into it, you need to take this very seriously. Because once you lose the salt, there is no coming back. And I'll leave it at that for a minute.
Well, let's just think about this. You have table salt in your house, like maybe a little cylinder, you know, like the big one you buy at the store.
Yeah.
Well, what if it didn't taste like salt anymore? Like, what's it good for? Can you plant with it? What do you do with it?
No, you cannot do anything with the cooking, because it's not going to chance the flavor or anything like that.
No, because it's lost. So that's the thing. It's lost its intended purpose, because I'll just something that came to mind for you as a help for you in this, because you said this is for you, but it's for me and it's for others listening that are really intently listening. Messiah is not just speaking to you, because when he wrote his letters to the churches, that yes, it was to those gatherings, but if it wasn't for everybody else, it wouldn't be included in the word in the Bible. But think about this. All right, so the purpose of salt, and we'll just leave it at cooking, just so people can understand. The purpose of salt is to add salt to enhance the flavor, to bring out the flavor, like to make, and I'll give an example, you make salsa. All right, there's a difference in taste in salsa with no salt and salsa with salt, because it brings the flavor out, okay? So think about this. Your wife, Jane, okay, you have conversation with her. You've been having times on Sundays, because every other Sunday you'll come up here, okay, and then Wednesday nights too. And I don't think you had the scripture, but another scripture came to mind where Paul says, let your conversations be full of grace, seasoned with salt, okay? So think about your conversation with your wife, okay? She says something. No, we need to talk about spiritual things. Did you not just dump the salt?
No.
Well, no, you need to stop, because we need to, hold on. Let's, I don't want to talk about that. Well, you're going to hear it because you're dumping the salt. Okay. You ever heard of pouring salt in a wound?
What?
You ever heard of the term like pouring salt on a wound? Like you get a cut.
Yeah.
Does it feel good or does it hurt?
It hurts.
Yeah. Cause it's like, oh, right. So let your conversations be full of grace, seasoned with salt.
So when seasoning with salt, it's gradually applying the salt little by little. It's like going from kindergarten to first grade.
Well, because Paul didn't say, let your conversations be full of grace, immersed in salt. It says season, because like when you season, and you know this from cooking. All right, Edward, I want you to season the steaks that are on the counter marinating. Okay, well, and people can't see this, but I'm just kind of shaking the little pepper shaker. Well, just season it good. Or have you heard this term, salt and pepper to taste? Yeah, you just okay, well, no, a little bit more salt. Okay, not too much. Okay. Oh, man, perfect. That's the taste I want. Well, no, for me, I want a little bit more enhancement, so... And what it made me think of is a lot of times what we'll do is like, well, this person needs to be talked to and they need to be told, and be careful how you're using the salt. Because if you dump salt on somebody and they don't want it, it's going to hurt. or I don't want it get, ugh, that's salty. Oh, I don't. But if you're talking, and let's just say Messiah with the woman at the well, give me a drink. You know, just, well, you Jews, you do this and that. And well, what about this? And because it made me think of, all right, well, let's test the water. Let's see, because the Messiah said, you're the salt of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, what benefit is it? So you're here to bring the season, the flavor, the enhancement. But if you stop doing what you're doing, or you're not into it, then what good are you? Meaning, like, if you were to take, and I saw this at the store recently, like a, might have been like a 25-pound bag of salt that was for sale. And it's like, it almost looked like a bag of sand. It was so big. And I was like, what in the world would you use this much salt for? But let's say you're a restaurant. You may use a big thing of salt because you have a lot of cooking, or you use it for preservative or whatever. But I just find it interesting is Yeshua is giving us, he's saying that I'm looking at you as salt, like you're the preservating agent. You have a way to really protect that food, or like you're able to bring this message of truth that can really help people. But be careful how you use it, because you don't want to just go to somebody and dump salt on them, but you don't want to not give them any salt. But it's like, be full of grace. Like when you talk to your wife, don't sit there and be like, yeah, I'm going to correct you. And yeah, I'm going to correct you. And yeah, that's what I said. And no, be full of grace, meaning give opportunity to speak, give opportunity to understand. And as you're talking, hey, Jane, have you thought about this? What about that aspect? So explain to me how that ties to faith. I don't see that in the word. And you kind of, oh, wow, you know what? I didn't really think about that. So it's just making me think of that we can use things in the world to turn to the spiritual, because ultimately, like he told you, that if you lose it, and we had this on the podcast before, can you lose your salvation? Well, it's not an aspect that you lose it, meaning like you just, I can't find it. Where is it? It's you either, you could use it this way, forfeit or abandon. That you abandon your role, then it's just like if you took salt and you lost your saltiness, meaning like we're talking about somebody that has the fullness of faith, circumcision of the heart, and you mention it when you've tasted the heavenly gift, when you've been enlightened and you've tasted the heavenly gift and the good things to come, then if you fall away, you can't be brought back to repentance because you can't get the saltiness back again. See, it's different to where if you're not at the fullness of faith with circumcision of the heart, you could walk away from it. But because you don't have the fullness of faith yet, you could still come back to it. Like you could turn away from God, but then you could turn back to God. That's like the prodigal son that, you know, my son was lost and now, but with circumcision of the heart, that's when you have the fullness of deity and bodily form. You're fully, and that's probably the next thing, you're fully full of enlightened or full of light. So then if you abandon that, then you can't start over again. So what I'm seeing is a just an evaluation of really evaluate the faith that you're in, because once you get to the point, it's like the point of no return, that you fall away. And a lot of people think that, well, I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and I just feel bad. I did something wrong. I think I fell away from faith. And the book of Hebrews that mentions this, it makes it very clear that this is talking about somebody that has the fullness of faith. It's talking about somebody, and it says, once enlightened, meaning that the ED, that it's, you have circumcision of the heart, you've tasted the heavenly gift, which is you have mother within, the goodness of God, the powers of the age to come. Then if you abandon it, it says you can't be brought back to repentance. And then it mentioned that because then you're making it to where Messiah is crucified again to an open shame. Well, God's not going to allow that to happen, nor can it happen, because he would have to have immortality and come back to a body of flesh again, and he's not going to come again to live that life and die again. So really the impossibility is you have no more sacrifice for sins, because you chose to go back to that which you left. And I just see this as that it's a warning that that be careful what you're doing, that you have this truth, that you have this salt, but use it appropriately. Don't go dumping it on people because you think they need to hear it. Use it wisely. Like, yeah, do you want me to say this? What do you want me to do? Okay, well, I want you to go over to Jane and just start a conversation, or just sprinkle a little salt on there and just see what you get. And if you get, oh, all right, well, maybe it's not the right time. Maybe I'll do this later.
Yeah. When I was thinking about when sprinkling the salt, when I first got went with you guys to the gathering first time, and I learned a lot about it. I got so overexcited. I was so focused on, it's based on my leaning onto my own understanding and when I went to Jane, and I dumped, like Sean was just saying, dumping the salt all at once. I didn't have the attention. It wasn't my attention to try to hurt somebody, but I just went out and spoke here. And what had happened was, she shut me down completely. And so what she did when we shut down completely, I was unable to make any contact because she didn't want to be hurt on what had happened. But as the years went by, it took several years for me to realize that I'm no better than her. I mean, if I could put her in there, I'm just about the same. We're no different. I mean, there is no sin. There's no different. If you sin this little, you sin this much, they're both the same. Because Yahushua Messiah said, if you break one of the least of these commands, you've broken them all. So recently I had a conversation with her, talking and doing it. Every time before I talk with her, I would ask Yah and to guide me to speak. I don't want to make the same mistakes I made before. And everything turned out good. And then somehow she opened up. I mean, it was the first time that I found out the deep secret in her. It was bad. Revealing. It was, it blew my mind. And all these stuff. But I'll just get to the point, because there's no details that needs to be known. My wife, when she was 16 years old, she was at her house. And her brothers and friends and others came over to the house. And she was only 16 years old. They played spin on the bottle. And whenever they spin the bottle, they have to do this. And it was actually, they had to like perform, like she had to perform sex with another person while everybody was looking at her. And that shook me to the core. And I said, well, you know, now I see why she's very protective. She, you know, she bursts out real quick to be anger. But now I can see that. So gradually, bringing it, you know, slowly, because Bill and you have mentioned that I need to live it. I need to walk in it. Do what Yahushua Messiah wanted me to do so that I can work with her. And I'm going to say, there's one more thing I'd like to speak out, but I want to say that for last, after I get the second part of the light.
Yeah, because when you're talking with her, that, because I just got this recently, that when you look at somebody else, that they're a mirror, and that a lot of times, like what came to mind for me was, I'm attempting to get the mirror to change, but the mirror just reflects what's in front of it. So when you're talking to your wife, you're talking to somebody, if something is aggravating you, something is bothering you, it's a reflection of you. So the way to have it not be an issue is you look into the mirror, meaning like you see it in somebody else, you evaluate it in yourself, and you see it to where if somebody else is doing it, you can say, oh yeah, that was me. Why do I need to get aggravated and upset? Because you're getting aggravated and upset. You don't realize that you're seeing yourself, but you think it's the other person, and the mirror doesn't change. The mirror doesn't lie. And that's why the word says, make sure that you look intently into the perfect law that brings liberty, not being a forgetful hearer. Don't forget what you look like and walk away and immediately forget what you just looked at. Really look intently that, wow, I'm looking at my wife and that happened to her. I'm just as wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked as anybody else. The only separation is Yeshua Messiah and his work and believing in him. Other than that, what you've done, what I've done, what Hitler's done, what Charles Manson's done, it's like you said, it's on the same level because we've all broken one command and we're guilty no matter what we've done. But what we do is we try to minimize our sin by making somebody else's bigger. Well, I didn't do as much as he did or she did. That doesn't make you less guilty. You're not innocent. Just like you're in Messiah, you don't sin, but that doesn't mean you're innocent because you've had sin in the past. So you've already broken a command. So how are you made right? Faith in the Son. That's the thing. There is no works that you could do to be perfect before God because you're already imperfect. And what we do is we waste time trying to be perfect where you can't be. Now, we're not removing perfecting, but you yourself cannot do it. We need a Savior. We need somebody to show us the way, Yeshua, and obviously the Father and Mother as well, Abba and Ema. But with salt, I just see this as, because as you were speaking, I was like, wow, that you could look at that in conversation. But I look at my own wife in conversations that I think she's wrong and I say something and you just, it would be like if you just dump flour or salt on somebody's head. Well, is that going to keep the conversation going? No, it's going to end it. So I'm seeing it as you, like when you're salted with fire, that like you're coated, you're protected, you're preserved in fire. You put into the fire that so you can come out better on the other side. So like salting as a, I don't know a lot about this, but I'm thinking about like hams are packed with salt as a preservative. And think about it. If you're salted with fire, think about like you go into the fire, but you come out like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
That's what I was going to tell you.
That you come in, but you come out preserved to where I don't even smell smoke on my clothes, but if you don't get salted by fire here, by Yah, you're going to be put into the lake of fire where it's not going to be a removing impurities. It's going to be just a continual burning and agony. So it's interesting how salt can be used as a preservative, a seasoning agent. Wow. You don't want to oversalt. You don't want to undersalt. You want to be just in that. Because I'm trying to think what I was making. I think it was salsa or something. And I was like, don't put too much salt in this. And I was like, I'm not going to put too much. And I'm sprinkling, you know, and I was like, oh no, it was potato soup. And I was like, oh no, I forgot that the potatoes absorb the salt. I was just tasting the broth. I didn't taste the potato and I tasted the potato and it was like, so now we have a salted brine and now we have a salted potato. And it's just, it made me think of, it's a balance. Like you're the balance, like you're the example, like for Jane, you're the example for her. You be the example for balance. You be the example for spiritual things. And I'm just thinking like, because of her programming, she'll lash out because you're going to expose me and I don't feel protected because nobody protected me. And I'm vulnerable. Well, the more you relate to her, the more conversation you'll have. Because what'll happen is we think that conversation will bring relationship. The relationship will bring more conversation. So the more you relate to her, wow, you know what, Jane? I never saw that. So you know what? From now on, I'm going to approach it this way because I didn't realize you went through that trauma. So that's why you're doing what you're doing. Okay. Doesn't mean that that's an appropriate response to lash out. But now but where do I do that? Have I lashed out at people? because this was given to me about the mirror, that if you see it in somebody else, and you had mentioned that you get, you want to get it all out and you want to slow down, calm down. Should this be brought out? Let me wait a minute. You know what? I didn't see that. The quick, the slow, the quick to listen, the slow to speak, the slow to become angry, because wow, that I'm referred to as the salt. I want to make sure that I'm using salt appropriately. What if I put salt in your eyes? What, would that feel good?
No.
No. And not meant to be funny, but like if you don't use it appropriately, or you cut yourself and you just,
it will really burn, you know.
It'll burn. So be careful how you use the salt, because it's powerful. I mean, I think I may have seen this years ago, like that a child or somebody accidentally swallowed like a spoonful of salt and actually died from it, that you can be careful how you take it. You take it in, because it's meant to be measured in an appropriate way. Go ahead.
Yeah. They have the salting, a certain amount of saltness in your body. You can't have too much. I'm no expert on that one, you know, but the being slow, I mean, quick to listen, slow to speak, it's what really helps it. Because if you're so fast, and then you'll forget what you're saying. It's like you look in the mirror and you turn back, and then you turn back and you forget about it. And that has happened to me, you know. And
Did you want to go ahead and move on to the other part of this that you
okay,
have?
Okay, sure. That sounds good. Because the thing I was reading, and all right, the light. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under the bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. So I have to show demonstration to her. Let the light shine the way they want. God wants me to shine my light to her. That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That one was in Matthew 5:13-16. The next one would be John 8:12. When Yeshua spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I just found something interesting in Proverbs. I didn't think it would be in there. But if you look for it carefully and read the scriptures, then you'll notice it. The path of a righteous, it's like the morning sun, shining even brighter till the full light of day. And I'll stop right there.
Could you read the last part where he said that about the person and walking in darkness? Read that part again.
I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness.
And keep going.
But will have the light of life.
Because think about that, because a lot of times we'll depend on the translation instead of the truth. And I'm not saying that is true, but here's what came to mind. I am the light of the world, meaning God, like the great I am, and yes, Messiah as well, a part of that. The one that believes in me will not continue to walk in darkness, because we were walking in the darkness before Messiah came, but like, because it says never, meaning like nevermore, like when you're in me, that you're to never walk in darkness again, like because you've got the full light, like that the one that believes in me is the one that will walk in the light as I'm in the light. So it's saying that there's a big difference between you accepting Messiah as Lord and Savior and you actually walking in the light, because walking in the light means you're walking as he did, that you'll never walk in darkness again. Unless the other part of this is that if you, can you turn back from the light or vice versa?
Yeah. I mentioned about, can you, you know, when you receive the light and lose it, can you come back to receiving it? And my answer would be no. You can't get, after you've been enlightened and tasting the heavenly gifts and everything, you'll be trampling over the Son of Man. So you won't not be able to come back, because
think about this. If and you've had this, you're in a house that's dark, and I'm not going to say that there's absolute darkness to where there's no light anywhere, but it's dark. Well, what happens when you turn the light on? Where does the darkness go?
It's gone.
It right.
Flees. Because I mentioned the Satan flees from the light somewhere in the scripture.
Well, where in the abyss, the hell is referred to as being thrown into outer darkness. Because darkness means you're separated from, like you said, you turn the light on, the darkness flees. The light doesn't flee the darkness. The darkness flees the light, to where like now, like we're sitting in a room with light. Like, where is the darkness? The darkness isn't right in front of us. The darkness is over in this corner in the closet behind the corner. But if you shine light into it, where does the darkness go? The darkness has to flee. And that's the thing with the journey of faith, is because Messiah says, I'm the light of the world. Well, if you have me and you walk with me, then you walk in light. But if you don't, then you walk in darkness. Because I don't know if you ever thought about this, but in Genesis, in the beginning, it says, God said, let there be light. Later on, they talk about a light and a lesser light, like the sun and the moon, but let there be light. So them telling us that our son is going to come, he's the light. Believe in him. He's the light. And it's like you said with your wife, and for me as well, with anybody, let your light shine before others, meaning that you live this faith. And you'll have times where you season with salt and you have conversations, but you live it first, and that gives the best opportunity to be able to talk about it to somebody else. Where you're, let me ask you this. Have you at times, let's just say I have a water bottle here, okay, that what would be better for her, and let's say this is a flashlight, if I hold the light and do this, right, I shine it in your face, oh, whoa, versus what if I, hey, Edward, I just wanted to show you, or Jane, I just wanted to show you, do you see this right here? Oh my gosh, I didn't see that. Yeah, see that right there? That's something for you to work on. So just bringing this to your attention.
More like the lesser light.
Yeah. I'm using it to where now, I mean, if we were to appear before Yah in their fullness, that light is just so brilliant. You would die. Like there's no way to, now they're in, I'm not going to say they're in times where you put it in somebody's face, but how would your life be if you went home tonight and it was dark and you just took a big spotlight and you just went into everybody's house and just shine the spotlight in everybody's face, and well, you need to understand this truth of God and you better repent and leave me alone, I don't want it. No, you're gonna get it. And you do all that, and why are these people getting all upset? Well, why are you shining the light in their face? They don't want it. Leave them alone. Now, the one that needs help, no, please show me, I want to see. Okay, because the person wants to stay in darkness, they don't want to see the light, so leave them alone for now. Now, if they show interest, or obviously other than that, Yah wants you to say something, you do that. But people, you're either going to be a child of day or a child of the night. You're going to be a son or a daughter of the day or a son or daughter of the night. And find your way in faith to where you choose. Are you going to serve the light or are you going to serve the darkness? Because like Messiah said, that at night you don't work because it's dark. We work during the day. because we're children of the day. We work when it's day. We don't work at night. We're not children of darkness. We're children of light that make sure that what we're doing lines up with the truth. And I just think this is great for you, a great way for y'all to tell you that with your wife, the very best you can, you live this faith the absolute best you can with their help. You listen for Yah from when they want you to tell her things. And when you say something, you say it and leave it alone. And you just keep working on yourself. If you see something in her, all right, I see that, but I got plenty to work on. Yah, do you want me to say anything? And you work on yourself. And the more you work on yourself, you're being the reflection of Yah. You're being the mirror for her to see that this is the life of God, that I'm not hiding anything. You know, I'm like a city on a hill that it's made not to be hidden. Like the gospel isn't made to be hidden. It doesn't mean you go out and blab it to everybody, but it's just like you have a conversation. We'll talk about faith. We'll talk about, like, I'm not here to, well, I gotta go in the corner and hide because I'm not. No, it's meant to be, you just be godly, and that will give glory to God by you doing what's appropriate. And this is even helping me too, by just realize the example that you're setting, everything you do, people see it. Really evaluate what you're doing. Really evaluate what you're saying. Am I dumping salt on people? Am I not doing anything with salt? Am I seasoning? Am I just throwing salt recklessly? Or am I doing what is beneficial that is salt? Because if I don't have the truth, then what I'm bringing really has no flavor. It's just dust that you just throw out and trample. It'd be just like if salt had no taste or seasoning, might as well just put it in your driveway if you have sand around stuff, because it's not, you're not going to use it for anything.
Well, one thing I know is that that is one of the lessons that I've been learning on to humble myself. And that is the very first thing I have to keep bear in mind when I'm talking to Jane. I said, I need to humble myself, put myself below her so that whatever she asks, then I will take a moment to see if Yah wants me to say whatever I'm supposed to say. Now, according to that salt and the light, Jane had one good answer. And which, you know, I asked her a question about the saltiness on both of them. And I said, what is your answer on that? She said, no. I said, you know, can you lose your saltiness? And can you come back to, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, it's like I told you, by enlightening, once you're enlightened, you cannot come back. But her response was no. And then I asked her, why? And she paused for a moment. And I said, I responded to her. I said, just don't worry about it. If it comes to mind, it'll be all right. But it's happened to me many times. So that you have to be able, in order to be in faith, you have to be able to be prepared to give a good answer. That you,
And sometimes, Edward, a good answer is, I'm not going to answer your question. Because good means functional. Okay. So if you don't have the truth, if you don't have a good answer, you know what? I don't have a good answer for that. I'm going to evaluate that, but I'll come back to you when I have the good answer. Because a lot of it is, we put pressure on ourselves to think we have to answer. Because if I don't answer, then it'll look bad on me, or I don't know what I'm talking about, or she'll look down on me, or I thought you're supposed to know all these things. Well, no, faith in God doesn't mean you know everything. But that's what it's saying. If give a good answer, don't just answer people just to answer. Because what if you tell them an answer and they're like, yeah, that's the truth. And yes, it's still up to them to find the truth. But Edward, why did you answer that way? If you didn't know the answer, why are you giving the answer? Well, I thought I had to. Yeah, but you don't. It just says, think about it. Always be prepared to give a good answer. It doesn't mean you just go around telling people answers to questions. It's just somebody asked you. Yeah, I'll give the godly answer. I'll give the truth answer. And it says, be prepared, because people are going to ask, hey, I've been watching you. You're different. What is it about you're doing that's different? Oh, I have no idea. And we say, oh, I'll tell you. Yeah, this is, we're doing this, we're doing that. And what she's doing is she's just answering out of her programming, that she just answers what she thinks she knows, like that, well, yeah, you can't. Yeah, you accept Jesus. Yeah, you can't lose your salvation. Yeah, you can't. And you say, why? Well, you just can't. Yeah, but that's not a good answer. That's an answer, but I want a good answer. Tell me how you know that you can't lose it. Well, it's just the Bible. Okay, well, what does the Bible say? Well, it says this right here. And a likely scripture is, well, you see it, Messiah says, nobody can remove you from my hand. And I would say to that, you're correct. That if you're in the hand of Messiah, nobody can remove you. That's true. But it doesn't say anything about you walk out of the hand. It just says nobody can come in and remove you. And what he's saying is, when you're in my hand, like you have the fullness of faith, that the enemy can't come in and pull you out. Nobody can come in and steal you from, they can't snatch you out, just like a kidnapping. But if you turn away from light and go back to darkness, Yah's not going to say, no, Edward, stay. It'll be, all right, you want to go back to darkness? Go ahead. Nobody else is pulling you out of my hand. You're removing yourself from my hand. But I've heard that people will go to that and be like, you see, that means you can't lose your salvation. And I'll say, no, it doesn't mean that. It means nobody can come in and take what is mine. You're my possession. You're in me and I'm in you. Nobody can steal you from me. But you can leave this, because we have the warnings in Hebrews that be careful, if we deliberately keep on sinning, no sacrifice for sins is left but the expectation of fire and judgment. So to answer your question, if you're fully enlightened, circumcision of the heart, yes, you could return to darkness, but if you do, there is no coming back.
Correct.
But if you're on the journey of faith, for example, you're walking in repentance, that your sins are forgiven, but you're not fully enlightened yet, that if you did turn away, that you could be brought back to repentance. Now, right. We're not just telling people, just go out and do this and then
right.
Experiment. No, but it's saying, because the big key in it is, you've been enlightened, like it is finished, like it's done. You've been enlightened. You have the fullness of deity in bodily form. You've tasted the heavenly gift. You've participated in the things, the godly things. You know God. Well, you're convinced of God. You're knowing more and more. So it's not a, oh my gosh, Sean, I didn't know that I had the fullness of faith. I had no idea. No, it's you talk to God face to face and you say, I don't want this anymore. I'm leaving. Well, that's blasphemy. My son gave his life for you and you trample his blood underfoot? That's unacceptable. See, and the thing is, the reason that it's impossible to return is because you have no sacrifice. That the sacrifice of Messiah, that you're in him, well, you've blasphemed, you've broken the seal of the Spirit, which is the circumcision of the heart. Think about if you were to have cancer surgery and you said, I want to go back to the doctor and get the cancer put back in. Well, why would you do that? That's completely against us. Well, I don't want you anymore. I want the darkness. Well, if you do that, then there is no coming back. And that's why the warnings, why would there be a warning if you couldn't lose it? There's no reason to have a warning to lose your salvation if you couldn't walk away from it. And that's why I just see this as just realize that, really evaluate what you're doing and realize what you're saying, because for you at this time to go and explain this to your wife, she's not going to understand it. If you were trying to explain to her that you could walk away from faith, she wouldn't, more than likely wouldn't get it. Well, does it make any sense? Well, but you're not at a point to understand that yet. So just realize that what I'm seeing in this as I'm talking more is that this is a great help for me, for others, and for you to really look at how you're living your life as the example, because you can speak to people and say things in your actions more than you can speak to people with your words. Like you living life, like you coming up here every other week and being consistent in that shows Jane a lot. that you don't have to say, you see, Jane, I'm coming up here every week. I'm committed. That she sees it. Let me see it in your actions. Tell me in your actions as you tell me in your words. Don't tell me in your words and then say something different with your actions.
Yeah, you need to put the action in first before you produce it.
But yeah, those are the thoughts that I had so far, just things coming to mind. And just to let everybody know, just something that, because you, you're a part of our gathering, you actually used to live where we live, and you moved away with your wife. And Yah's been speaking to you, and you're having church time with her on Sundays and Wednesdays, and then every other week you're up here. So it's Yah's giving you opportunity to trust in them and to be the salt and to be the light, to be the example for her. And doesn't mean that you're necessarily in Messiah right now, but you have the Son speaking to you to say, hey, Edward, evaluate these things and really talk about it, because you're the salt and the light around your wife, and really just make sure that you're doing what we want you to do, not things which you think you should do. And just be careful with how you're speaking with her, how you're around her, because you're around her a lot more than we are. And the best way for her to have an opportunity for faith is to see a godly example, just like, who knows, the ungodly wife may come to faith by the godly husband, or the godly husband may come to faith with the godly wife. It doesn't say it's a guarantee, but you live the best example. That's the best opportunity for somebody else to actually come to this.
And when I mentioned about her being able to give an answer or something, she said she couldn't give an answer. I told her that this happened to me before. I tried to express the answers thinking that I know what I'm talking about. It's like leaning onto my own understanding. That's what I was getting at, too. And I told her that I've done it too many times on that. Just to let you know, if you don't know, it just kind of bear in mind that if you don't know about it, then you may want to dig into it. But you have to do the digging. I cannot do the digging for you, but she would have to do it.
Well, I even thought about our church gathering this morning, that Victoria had a question. Like, she was talking about the written code, like the written law versus the spirit of the law. And I had this thought as we were just talking together, that I'd spoken a little bit, and then Phil spoke a little bit, and Cindy and others. And I had this thought that I was like, and we'll say, does that make sense? And it's like, yeah, kind of. Or, and what came to mind was, is that the thing to do is talk about and speak truth. Yah's the one that can help somebody to actually, oh, now I see. Like, because we could, just like eating a meal, I put it in front of you on the table. As you eat it, you have to acquire a taste for it and see what it's like. Now I can say, this is good, Edward. This is really good green beans. This is really good mashed potatoes, really good pot roast. And yeah, you need to eat it. That, and you're like, I don't know. Well, well, once you taste it, oh, wow, that's what this, okay, well, I didn't see that. Yeah, you've tasted
about knowing
the heavenly gift. Like, it'd be like one of my favorite foods, let's say, would be like chicken fingers, chicken strips with honey mustard. Well, how do I know what that's about if I don't taste it and acquire a taste for it? That, how am I going to know if I like it or not, or if I'm going to take it in or reject it? Like, you have to acquire a taste for the things of God. You have to build a taste to it, because the things of God would be like, we would look at in the world as, let's just say you just made a pot of potatoes, boiled potatoes, and you put no salt, no butter. You'd be like, man, this is bland. But if you really just eat the potato and take your time and really get a tasting for it, like potatoes right out of a garden, new potatoes are way different than buying them at the store. You eat those, you're like, man, you don't even need butter or sour cream or anything. This just tastes, man. And that's the thing, is once you get the real, see, that's the thing. The truth of God is that real ripe vegetable or fruit, that we don't really get that in the world. We don't get the true vine ripe tomatoes and strawberries. But if you got that and you tasted that, I'm convinced we'd be like, I'm not eating any of this other stuff, man. This is the taste. like for me, like a vine ripe tomato is so good, like a tomato sandwich or potatoes. Because when I was growing up, my dad had a garden. And I remember we would get those new potatoes, that fresh corn on the cob. And I was like, man, you don't even need any salt or, and that's the thing, because we, you don't acquire a taste for that. But if we, I'm convinced if we tasted that vine ripe fruit, we'd probably be like, I don't want any candy. I don't want, this is the taste. And I just find that interesting. Like y'all can use things like that in the world to understand their truth, that you've got to acquire a taste for this faith. You don't just wake up one day and there it is, that you've got to, you know, dig into it. And the more you talk to your wife, the more spiritual conversation, just an opportunity. Because here's the thing, is it for her or is it for you?
That actually has to come back to right. me first.
Right.
I am well aware that it goes out to everybody else. There's a saying from a philosopher, a writer, he's well known, from the Swadanoa. He said, what you see out in the universe reflects it back to you. And God designed in that the universe to show the reflection so you can see his creation. It's either you accept it or not. I'll leave it at that.
Well, I'll just use the law of God as the mirror. Okay. You look intently into the perfect law that brings liberty. Okay. You look at it. It's to break you, to show you that you're a sinner. Do you see this mirror? You're not, you're corrupt. Well, what must I do? Then you can then be in the mirror to where it's like being under the law versus upholding the law, that it's a lot harder if, let's just say like up on, here in Virginia, like the Skyline Drive, like some of those rocks that are up there, put yourself under the rock and then put yourself in the rock. Well, in the rock, well, I'm not feeling weighed down. There is weight because I'm now the rock, but if I'm under it, it's too much of a weight. And that's the thing. If you're trying to be perfect by works of the law, it's just too much of a weight. It's crushing. Like you can't handle it. Get out from under that. Get in the law. Like right now, like I'm upholding these clothes that I'm wearing because I'm in the clothes. But what if somebody took a pile of clothes and just dumped them on top of me, that I'm under the clothes, but well, now I'm in the clothes. Well, it's still a little bit of a weight, but it's manageable to where I'm not carrying a burden with this. And it's the same thing as obedience to God. Yes, there's a weight, but it's not meant for you to carry. It's not for you to be perfect on your own. You can't. It's too much of a weight. That in Messiah, that he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It says the burden is light. Doesn't say there's no burden, but just like this, like, are you weighed down by your clothes right now? No, but you carry the burden of, you're wearing your clothes, but it's not too heavy.
Wow. It's light.
It's comfortable, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the comfort is stop trying to be perfect on your own, thinking you can be pleasing to God. Rest from that. Obey God from a willing heart. And yes, you're going to struggle and suffer, but when you really want to do it, you lay the burden down. Like, I really want to go to work and do my best. Well, you still have the burden of your job, but you lay down the burden of the dread of, oh my gosh, I just got to do this and I don't want to do it. Well, think about how much you're weighing yourself down instead of, no, I want to do this. So I'm going to do the best I can. And you already lay down a burden, and then I still have the work and it's still a weight, but you don't have to have, you can rest, meaning like you can have peace in your mind and, wow, I have peace with God now. Wow, this is great. And you can even, because Victoria said this morning, that you can change your mind. I'm going to enjoy my job now. And you have to go through the practice. But that's putting a lot of weight to the side, that, hey, I want to be here. I want to do it. It's not work for me. You know, for somebody else, it could be. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about, or? Yeah, it said something at the end. You're waiting for something.
Well, I just said it about Jane.
Oh, you did?
And there is one more thing that I've been, something else. I've been asking Phil, before that, I've been asking y'all for a long time. I've asked over and over. I said, what about these deaf people? I cannot hear, actually not hear, but they have a podcast that goes out for people who can hear. But one thing I do know is that not everybody is willing to take it in when they hear it. But then after a while, Phil was talking about the new phones. They have better technologies added onto it that you can use closed caption. And when I clicked it on just to check it at home last week, it blew my mind open. And I said, wow. And now I'm going to, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge with Jane because of her 400 over 20 vision and 200 over 20 vision on my eye for her to read back and forth because she has to go a little slower. But anyway, that's an opportunity for her because when I found out about the closed caption, I told her, why don't you start with the brainwashing and see how you can do it? Because the way I talk to her in sign language, I'm in what they call Old English, which is finger spelling and the detail. But ASL stands for shortcut for many things. And I'm not particularly crazy about that because you don't want to be cutting out the shortcut because you'll be missing out what the what you're saying in this podcast or whatever. And I would like to recommend if you run into a friend who may be deaf or hard of hearing that can't understand listening to the podcast, to let everybody, every deaf person know that those who are willing to have a heart, they're fully committed to do, you know, whatever is said, let them know, tell them to click onto the podcast and hold on a second. Yeah, and then let them know that the technologies on the new phones they have closed captions and they are accurate. Because I read it, because I was listening to some of them by reading the thing, and just spread the word on that, because deaf people are probably, I know that they're searching, but they just don't know where or so, but that was something that y'all has given me an idea to let you people who are listening to this podcast to reach out only for those who are really willing to do it. But they would have to start from the beginning, because I've learned a lot of things. You cannot, on the brainwashing from the beginning will help you understand who you are and what you're programmed to do. And you don't realize it. I don't realize it. I don't feel it. It's like I'm a living computer. And a lot of things that I've done or learned from it may not be spiritual. So that's all I can get for this podcast.
And I'm just curious, tell me one more time, what was it that you asked God over and over again for?
To give me an idea on how to come up with closed caption. I said, well, I got to hire somebody to do the sign language, you know, the ASL sign language.
Actually, I wanted to go a little bit further back. What did you request of God? What kind of podcast were you requesting?
I was asking Yah, what the deaf people cannot hear. And
so a podcast for deaf people.
On a podcast, yeah. Uh-huh. That's what I'm saying. But I feel it's not the word emotional, but there are a lot of intelligent people. And when they see this message that I started out with, they would move quickly, depending on what their desire is.
Well, I'll just give you just a little bit deeper understanding in that request. And I don't know if you remember how long ago the request was, but think about it, because so many times we lean on our own understanding. Okay.
Okay.
So just think about this from Yah's perspective. All right. You're asking them, Yah, is there a podcast for deaf people? Do we not have a podcast for deaf people and blind people and lame people, crippled people? That from the spiritual aspect, and yes, I'm not negating somebody physically hearing, but Messiah came for the lame, the maimed, the deaf, the blind, those that are disregarded, that those that truly can't see and can't hear, because he says, the one that has ears to hear, let him hear. So your wife, you may say, well, she can't see or hear, but could somebody hear and see but still be blind and deaf?
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean by that?
Spiritually.
Right. She could see and understand and still be physically blind and still not be able to physically hear, but she can understand and she can hear and see God. See, that's the thing. That's, I was like, wow. So the request that we make, well, yeah, because your understanding is, well, there's a podcast for the deaf or there's closed captioning because they can't hear. Edward, did I not make the ears and the eyes? Don't I have the capability to make somebody hear and see when they can't hear and see? And I just thought of the podcast. I was like, how beautiful was that? That this is to help the deaf and the blind and the lame and the crippled, because the truth of God is what will heal people of those conditions. And I'm not changing anything you said. It's just a, think about it. All right, well, we are reaching the deaf and the blind. You're thinking about it from an aspect of a physical, which is, we understand that you need closed captioning, but even if she reads that, does she see it? Does she hear it? Well, I don't want that. Well, so you can't, you're deaf, but you're not hearing because you don't want to hear. So there's a difference between somebody that can't see or hear that wants to hear, but yeah, I want to understand, but I'm blind. Help me to see. And you see, well, why didn't you heal my physical blindness? Well, does it matter that you know the truth? You have the fullness of faith. And I'm not saying what Yah would do, but I was just thinking deeper on, wow, that Yah is giving us a podcast for the deaf and the blind, that with this truth applied, the deaf can hear, the blind can see. That, and we don't know, maybe there could be a day where your wife could see and hear physically, you know, with technology, or Yah may, who knows. But the focus for this is the spiritual healing, that the deaf and the blind can see. And yes, through this, that she can read it if she, her eyesight or her ears are bad. But once she understands it, that Yah helping her, wow, Yah can even reach somebody that can't see or hear to have understanding from the spiritual. So like, she doesn't have to see or hear physically to be able to understand spiritually. So I just thought it was just a neat correlation that with what you're saying, let's just take it deeper, that there's a lot of deaf and blind people out there, and that, well, I'm not deaf. Are you sure about that? Well, yeah, I can hear perfectly fine. But spiritually, you don't want to listen. You don't want to hear. So that's all. I just thought that was a neat Yah bringing that out, to where that they are answering the prayer, but they answer it based in more things than that, what you're seeing, that we're actually having that on this podcast, which is neat. So just wanted to share that. But I was just thinking, unless you had anything else, is a good stopping point. We had a good conversation.
Well, I feel that we've had a great conversation.
Yeah,
great,
absolutely.
Learning for me, because the more now, before, I would have felt upset or disappointed or agitated with that. But it's what you're doing is just what Yahusha was doing. He, and Yah, of course, with discipline. People take the word discipline as a severe, direct, whatever they call it. But yes, that'd be all for this podcast.
Well, we'll leave it on this from Hebrews. No correction or discipline at the time is pleasant, but grievous. However, it leads to a harvest of righteousness for those who are trained by it. So it is painful, but if applied, it brings a harvest of righteousness, which is great. So yeah, Edward, we'll stop here. Appreciate we have one person listening in, which is great. We'll have hopefully people in the future, but yeah, you never know with the podcast. It could be Sunday. It could be whatever y'all wants us to do. So I just think it's neat that we just have an opportunity to do it on a different day, but
it's another day of trusting. I'm taking another step of trusting and paying attention to listening to you. And the last time I was here, I did not actually listen to you. I was so focused on trying to get the answer out. But while I was driving, I said, oh my goodness, he said that. And I just went to a different subject. So now that's why I'm focusing on you, making sure what I understand from you.
It's all in just a practice, because I've been doing about 150 or so of these podcasts and you've done 2. So it's just like with practice, just experience, trusting in God. So,
yeah.
But my name is Sean. For me and Edward, we'll see you on the next podcast, Lord willing. Everybody enjoy this Sunday. Today, March the 10th on Sunday. And we'll see you on the next podcast. Everybody have a good evening.
Thank you for joining us today on Hidden Treasures Revealed. We want to leave you with this thought. The greatest treasure in life, and especially in faith, is discovery. If we try to convince you of things, you may gain head knowledge, but if we let you discover things, you will have heart knowledge to know and understand and be able to give a good answer for the faith that you have. Treasure hunters seek treasure nonstop. Seek the treasure of God through conversation with them and through their word. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Seek the hidden treasure of God, and you will be blessed by it.